This is the El Campo legend, the czar, Bob Gillis. Hey, he's a, Hall of Honor for Texas High School Coach Association, as well as here for the Houston Coach Association, correct? Also former president of the Texas High School Coach Association as well. So hopefully he's learned a little insight on talking with athletic trainers over his illustrious career. So, Bob.
Thanks, sir. And trust me, I'm a friend, not a foe. We're all on the same team, trust me. Anyway, thank you, and I appreciate y'all staying. At our convention, I've spoke at many conventions, but at our convention, at our coach association, if it's 3 o'clock, that's about what time happy hour starts. And boy, everybody's out the door. So, just saying. So we appreciate you staying. I retired a couple years ago from El Campo after 37 years, in the profession. Something that I loved dearly and enjoyed dearly. Worked with a lot of great people. Let me say this, that I work with the outreach team now, the title is business development, but I'm a coach's liaison. And let me offer this, that if you need me to talk to any of the coaches, I know most of the coaches around the Houston area and, been friends with them for a long time. I'd be glad to come by and visit, or help any way that I can. Let me get that out of the way first. But let me first talk about, talk about the group I'm working with now, the outreach trainers. Let me give you a couple of observations. Many of you know them. First of all, they're a great bunch to work with, and they're professional. Okay, well, they're kind of professional. Okay, Mike Vara, forget him. Most everybody else is professional. But they do really care about helping kids. They really care about the schools. They'll do whatever you want them to do. They're very, very good at what they do. And that's something that I've learned. My first meeting was in April of 2015. And here's a coach, always been a coach, had trainers, but never been a trainer. I go to the meeting. There's approximately 17 athletic trainers in the room and me. So it's kind of like a fish out of water. Well, here's some of the things I heard and had no clue what they were saying. And I must read this. They discuss CEUs, EBPs, LAT, AED, ATC, PPEs, MMORs, more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking, good God. All we did was run the 36G or 48 sweep at El Campo. I mean, the training conference I came to that year, and even this year, after everybody's name that's talking, there's the acronyms such as CSCS, MPT, SCS, FAAFP, DPT, etc. And if you look on mine has Bob Gillis. That's all I got. It's me. That's all I got. So what I'm saying is I wish there would have been a communication with trainers 101 before I came to work with them. I still don't know what any of that stuff means, but I'm act like I do anyway. Started coaching in 1978. And I know for a lot of you, that's before you were born. Certainly before most of you started the profession. I started at Tidehaven High School. There were 3 coaches on staff. Now, we didn't have all the sports, but we had enough of them. I lost the flip and became head basketball coach. I lost the flip and became the head tennis coach. Never played tennis in my life. I coached football. I coached basketball. I coached track. I coached tennis. And I drove before school bus, after school bus. We had no trainer. I just graduated from A&M. Many of you know the legend athletic trainer Billy Pickard. Old Doc Pickard taught us how to tape. As I recall, the tighter the better. That's all I remember. So we taped, the tighter the better. So most people didn't want to get taped. We didn't know why. Moved to Pleasanton in 1980. In 1981, we hired our first trainer as assistant coach. His name was Keith Jan. A lot of you people know Keith. He's a dear friend. From Pleasant went to Klein Oak. He was a trainer at Klein Oak. We opened up Klein Oak. And really didn't realize everything that he and trainers do until I went back to the dark ages. My first head job, and not because of where I went, because it's Columbus High School in Columbus, Texas. And I love that place, but we had no trainer. So here's a 31-year-old guy going out to Columbus High School with no trainer, trying to get the football program going, get all the other programs going. Got to bring in no assistants, had no trainers, but we did have an old coach that said, hey, I take care of the training. I said, well, great. Well, little did I know he had 2 training methods that we stopped pretty quickly after I got to know. The first training method was he told me that if a kid's hurt, They're probably going to get in that whirlpool filled with ice and water. If they're not hurt, they're not going to get in there. I said, so you're telling me if a kid's hurt, they're going to jump in that whirlpool with ice and water if they're not hurt? Yeah, they go practice. Okay. Next training method, he thought foam rubber was magic. He would take foam rubber to any part of the body that sustained an injury. We sometimes came out looking like the Michelin men. We were Quasimodo, some linebackers walking around with a big old foam rubber. Well, I didn't also understand that every year I had to buy a new high jump pad because he was cutting the foam rubber off our high jump pad. Well, again, you understand why that stopped. And I stayed at Columbus for 4 years, and we finally had a physical therapist that came in, thank goodness, and helped us. And we did a lot better that way. Moved to El Campo in 92, been there ever since. And blessed to have some very, very good trainers. I think there's 4 or 5 here in the audience, if they're still here. They probably heard. They're probably going to say what he says up there is really not what he does. But I'm telling you, I think it is what I do. Communicating with coaches. You know, I've never thought about that. And I'm going to be honest, when Bob asked for me to talk, I never thought about communicating with coaches. I thought that it was just something you did. I didn't know. And so I thank Kel for coming up with this. I had no PowerPoint. I've got a lot of PowerPoints on the talks on the things that I used to do in football and philosophy and all this stuff about with coaching. But I had no PowerPoint. And the reason I had no PowerPoint is because really I was going to put one word on that PowerPoint. And that's simply trust. And I sincerely mean that about trust. Coaches, and I'm going to talk about a head coach because that's what I was for a long time. Head coaches by nature, and just let me finish before you, let me finish. Head coaches by nature are the most trusting people and they're the most non-trusting people because it's the nature of their business. My best friend, I've been at El Campo 25 years and my best friends in El Campo are guys, besides our coaches and trainers that I work with, are guys and families that normally had girls that I didn't coach. Because you never know what angle everybody's coming at you as a head coach. You never know why they want to be your friend or why they want you to come over or why I'm going to take you hunting, I'm going to take you fishing. Well, you know, my seventh grade son is a quarterback. Well, yeah, but he's 5'2" and weighs 230 pounds. But yeah, but you know, he can throw the ball. It's what his summer coach said. Well, okay. So, you know, by nature of the business, it's tough sometimes to break through the crust, I guess. But once you do, you got them. And I want to say this, that if I can say anything about trust and how to develop trust, one thing that I think is very important is to invest in the program. Understand this. It's we. And I really believe this. You know, as a team, we talk about with our kids being a team. Everybody's got a role. Everybody has a role in that team. If your role on a football team is to be the best scout team defensive tackle that you can be, you're gold. That's it. That's my role, coach. That is my role. Not that I don't want to play, not that I don't want to be a starter, but not everybody can start. Now, most parents what they want to do is if their philosophy would be, hey, coach, play the 10 best kids in my son, then we're good. Right? Well, 50 of those people, and that ain't going to happen. So everyone has a role. Your staff, everyone has a role. The trainer's role is very, very important. And I want to tell you this. It is getting more important daily. And just by listening to the lectures here and so forth, you understand the responsibility that you have. When I say trust and developing trust, one of the things that I really believe is in communication and effective communication is talking. I told a bunch of young coaches one time that the benefit, in my opinion, of going to our coaching school is not, you know, you can learn all the X's and O's, you can talk football, you can do this, but one of the major benefits is going up to somebody, shaking their hand, saying hello, looking them in the face, and getting to know them. And not going on the phone, texting them, and not emailing them. Effective communication, if you want to develop somebody's trust, talk to them. Talk to them. You have to talk. Email's easy, email's quick, we all email, we all text. But especially when that athletic trainer, that coach relationship, you have to develop that communication, that one-on-one communication. Some of the best talks I've ever had, some of the most confident, things that I would say is to one of our trainers, for me to them, because I could trust them. And there were some things I'd tell the trainers that I couldn't tell the coaches. We talk about kids, we talk about injuries, we talk about this, we talk about that, and we developed that trust over the year. And we understood that we're all on the same team, we all have the same goal, and let's be honest about it, when you coach And I want to talk about football. When you coach football, you've seen Katie out here. When you coach football, it's a result-driven business. That's the bottom line. It's a result-driven business. Everybody wants to win. Everybody needs to win. And I'm not saying that's the most important thing, because there are a whole lot of other things important. But, you know, when you coach a game, your results, your pass-fail is right up there on that scoreboard for everybody to see. You know, right there. You pass, you fail. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's true. I'm not saying that's what I believe. But for those 5 or 10,000 in the stands, that may be what they believe. And I promise you, you can tell at El Campo after every Saturday, on Saturdays we'd go get some breakfast tacos or something. So if we won the game, you walk in that Whataburger, man, they're buying you tacos and coffee and everything. You lose the game, you don't go to Whataburger. Don't go to Whataburger. They talk about you. So I mean, it's a result-driven business. So we all have to be on the same page. We all have to be on the same team. And I'm not saying we're all going to get along. And I'm not saying we're not going to have disagreements. Because coaches can be difficult and trainers can be difficult at times. Let's be honest about it. So the trust factor, in my opinion, is such a big deal, when you deal, and I want to talk about, when we talk about communication, let's talk about injuries. I was talking with Bubba backstage about injuries and so forth and dealing with coaches and telling injuries. You know, nobody likes injuries. Nobody likes to hear about injuries. You know, there's two times when you talk to coaches about injuries. Obviously on Friday night during the game, it's kind of intense. You know, the trainer I think has to develop who do you tell the injury. You know, some coaches like to hear that, the head coach like to hear it. Sometimes you tell it to the defense coordinator, offense coordinator. So they can relay up. The kid can't go back in. They relay up to get on special teams and so forth. I like to hear it. I like to hear it myself. And I've been accused. There's a guy sitting right back there, the current trainer at El Campo. I was accused, and I think he's old, so he can't remember everything. He told me about a certain, we had a kid that was really good, and he got his knee hurt, and he told me I blamed him because he got his knee hurt. I don't believe I did. And I don't remember I did. But I'm sure I did. But, let me tell you, after the game, on every Friday night, after the game, there'd be a bottle of water sitting at my desk. There'd be another bottle of water for the high school principal, win or lose. We'd come in, and then Doc would come in, and we'd talk about kids. We'd settle down. We'd talk about our injuries. And let me say this, that if I could offer something, and I don't know if I can offer anything, but if I can offer something, have a plan about what you're going to say. And I know everybody that's a trainer, everybody that deals with the public and deals with kids, you have to have thick skin. I understand that. But you know, have a plan and be ready for some questions. That doesn't mean they're questioning you. Good gosh, I got questions all the time. Good night. All the time. And sometimes I'd be like, wait a minute now. I'm the dang coach. Don't question me. Just like you're the trainer and your expertise is our injury with kids. But most of the time, they're not questioning you. But the questions that I think you need to be kind of ready for is, how bad is he hurt? You know? And if he's hurt bad, when is he going to go to the doctor? And if that's the case, then how long is he going to be out? And then the proverbial, can he play? Can he practice? And you know what? The only thing I say is be honest about your answer. Be truthful. And there's some times you may not know that. You may not know the answers until you get the report back, the MRI or whatever. But always, you know, always be honest. And if you don't know, you don't know, you'll find out. I will say this. As a dealing with parents and injuries, as a parent of a high school football player that was a senior in high school in 2004, and on the very first play of the very first scrimmage, my son tore his shoulder, blew it up. And Carrie Stogner's here. She was the first trainer I had. She had to come to me in the scrimmage and tell him that my son was out, done. And we didn't know how bad, but he was out. He played center too, and he hurt his right arm. Well, it's hard as a parent to deal with injuries of your son or daughter. You understand that. So I guess then, at that point, I became a lot more compassionate with parents because I became a parent of an injured child. And there was a lot of questions I had. Not because of playing, just because that's my son, that's my child. So when parents come in question, and I'm not talking about accusing, but when parents come into question, it's again, and many of you are parents, and you understand that is their treasure. So, you know, understand also where they're coming from. I will say this, that it's a must that the trainer and the coach, the head coach, must be on the same page dealing with injuries in parents. You have to be. And that's just talking about, that's talking back and forth of what the injury is, where we're going, what we're going to do, how we're going to get him back on the field. You know, Dr. Ott, with the concussions, it's the same thing. You have to be on the same page. You know, we all want to get the kids back on the field. We all want them to be safe also. Use your coach and the coach to tell them what's going on with that child, and the coach can tell the rest of the staff. So you won't have a position coach coming to you. Hey, you know, Johnny's playing linebacker, you know, can he go play? Well, the position coach doesn't need to question that. That needs to come from the head coach. And the head coach can relay the thoughts, and you can talk to him, you may have a great relationship, but the head coach needs to relay the thoughts and the plan to the staff about old Johnny. Here's what's happening, and here's where we're going, and here's what we're going to do. So therefore, there's no question. Everybody's on the same page. Now, that's a pretty simple process. And I'm not, like I told you earlier, I'm not saying it's easy. Trust is it's a two-way street. And I get it. And effective communication is a two-way street. And I understand that coaches a lot of times are not easy to get along with. I'm the first to admit it. I get it. But I promise you this, when trust is earned and when trust is gained, you've got trust for life. And we couldn't do it without the training profession. I will promise you that. I don't know what I'd have to do if I went back to coaching, went back to a small school without a trainer. Good God. That'd be the first thing I did. We had a choice. I had a choice at El Campo. We had one trainer. I had a choice in El Campo of getting a secretary for myself or getting another trainer. Guess what? Forget that secretary. I'd love to have a secretary, but we need another trainer. So we got a trainer. We have two trainers now. And then dadgum, the day I retire, they have two trainers. They get a secretary when I leave. Whatever's over there. I may run for school board and fire that person that got that secretary. God almighty. Anyway, I was my 85-year-old mother. I talked to her every Sunday. This is way off the subject. I don't even know why I'm telling you this. I talked to her Sunday. She said, what are you doing this week? I said, I'm going to a convention we have, a little gathering. And I said, I'm going to talk. Who are you going to talk to? Well, the training profession, physical therapist, so forth. I went LATs, ATCs, MORs, ETCs, things like that. Stuff she couldn't understand, but I knew. She said, well, when are you talking Tuesday? Well, what time? Well, I think about 3. Well, I said, yeah, it's the second to last one. She goes, oh my gosh, she's 85. Oh my God, Bob, be fast, will you? So there you go. 85-year-old lady telling me to be fast. My mom's still telling me. Last thought, and I will be fast. Last thought. Mike's, in all seriousness, Mike's about to lead a table discussion on student training programs and so forth. I will say this, and every time I get a chance, I say this, that kids these days, they're starving for accountability. And I sincerely believe they are starving for accountability. And through programs like a student training program, athletics, band, drill team, ag, I don't care what it is, there is accountability for those kids. And we need to get these kids involved. You have the gift of working with students every day. You have the gift of being the most positive influence on that student that they may have in their entire day. What you say, you'll remember. They'll remember. You may not remember you said it, but I promise you they'll remember it. My son in 7th grade told me, he said, Dad, you know what my coach told me today? 7th grade coach. What? He said, I need to quit drinking Cokes. Dude, I've been telling you that for like 5 years. But I'm his dad. I'm the head coach, but I'm his dumb dad. The coach told him, quit drinking Cokes. Well, he quit drinking Cokes. So your influence on these kids, you never know how what kind of magic you may have on them. That's a powerful gift that we all have, and I hope you use it to the best of your ability. I wish everybody luck this fall. I know you'll do great things, and I really appreciate what you all do. Thank y'all very much. Appreciate it.